too long ago, after dinner and before he went to bed, there we were in the family room, down on the floor, playing with cars and trucks. His goal was to make trucks and cars go fast down a track, and then to see him have a horrible accident together. Now, I gotta tell you that every time the cars and trucks went really fast down the track, I mean really fast, and every time they had a spectacular accident, his eyes would get big as saucers, and he'd say, "Whoa." Now, truth be told, Ruthie would tell you that she doesn't know who was having more fun, Austin or me. Woe is one of those expressions that we use in life for many different reasons. We say it when we see something that frightens us. Whoa! Or we say it when a car goes flying past us on 111 or I-93. Whoa! What do they think they're doing? Where do they think they're going? Hope the cops catch them. It's true, isn't it? We say it when we hear bad news. Whoa. We say it when we hear good news. Whoa. Exactly. And how do we say it when we get unexpectedly challenged? Whoa. That's what happens in the passage this morning that we're going to take a look at. The people hear Jesus preaching and teaching. And we're going to take a look at this as we continue in our series, Learning with Luke. Over the past few weeks, we've seen Jesus baptized and tempted. He begins his ministry, and then he calls his first disciples and says, "I will make you fishers of men and women." Now, throughout the rest of chapter 5 and the beginning of chapter 6 in Luke, there is a lot of activity that's going on. Jesus touches and heals a person who has leprosy. Jesus heals a paralyzed man and forgives his sins. Jesus invites a tax collector of all people to follow him. He sits and has a meal with sinners, something he shouldn't be doing, at least in everybody else's eyes. And then Jesus is challenged by the religious authorities of the day. And so all of these interactions that Jesus has are important because they show his authority. Authority over sickness, authority over sin, authority over evil spirits, and authority over people. They also show that his teaching is authoritative. As this opposition begins to grow from the religious professionals. And so this morning we'll see Jesus teaching and healing. And I can only imagine as the people experienced his healing and listened to his teaching that their response was, "Whoa." Turn with me, if you would, to Luke chapter 6, beginning at verse 17. Listen to God's word. "He went down with them and stood on a level place. A large crowd of his disciples was there, and a great number of people from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, and from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon, who had come to hear him and be healed of their diseases. Those troubled by impure spirits were cured, and the people all tried to touch him, because power was coming from him and healing them all. Looking at his disciples, he said, 'Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. Blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. Blessed are you when people hate you, when they exclude you and insult you and reject you, your name as evil because of the Son of Man. Rejoice in that day and leap for joy, because great is your reward in heaven. For that is how their ancestors treated the prophets. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. Woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. Woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when everyone speaks well of you, for that is how their ancestors treated the false prophets. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts would be acceptable to you, for you are the Lord of all. Lord, as we hear your words, as we observe your teaching, help us to know your authority, not only in the words that were spoken 2,000 years ago, but in the words that you speak to us today. May we be people who are willing to listen, to hear, and to put into action what we know to be true. For we ask this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen. There was forward momentum here. Jesus was gaining a following. Word was getting out. People were coming to Jesus to hear his teaching. People were coming to be healed. Jesus was, in this text, coming down from the mountain after having prayed and after choosing his 12 apostles. Now, there was a whole crowd there. Who was in the crowd? Well, the crowd included those 12 whom he just appointed apostles. It included those people who had been following him and listening to him teach from place to place. And then there was another group of people, Jews from Jerusalem and all Judea, but there were Gentiles there as well. And they were from the northeastern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, from Tyre and Sidon. They came as well. Well, why did they come to Jesus? They came to listen to him teach. They came to hear his words that were spoken with authority. They came to be healed from their sickness. They were the ones who were troubled by unclean spirits were healed. I can only imagine what that was like. I mean, think about it. In verse 19, we read, all in the crowd were trying to touch him. Can you imagine crowds of people gathering around Jesus and trying to touch him? That's a lot of people. And they're trying to get something from him. There was power going out from him, and they wanted to be able to touch Jesus and receive some of that power so that they can be healed. But there's more going on in this passage. Isn't that the way it is with Jesus? There's always something more going on, right? What was going on was the teaching. Do you remember a few weeks ago when Aaron preached? He preached on the fourth chapter of Luke, in which Jesus quotes from Isaiah. This is what Isaiah said. The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. Well, the people were hearing the proclamation of the word. They were hearing it and they were seeing it. And Jesus had some poignant truth to proclaim. And so he decided to proclaim that truth in words of blessing and words of woe. And as he did, he was dealing with issues of self-sufficiency and dependency. These are reversed blessings. And I call them reversed blessings because they are not anything that we would necessarily think of as a blessing in our lives. And in fact, I'm sure that the people who first heard Jesus say these words were wondering, how on earth are these a blessing? I mean, who would expect that the people who are blessed are the poor, the hungry, the weeping, and the hated? I mean, we wouldn't expect that, would we? I'm sure the people there said, "Whoa," when they heard that. And I think if we're truly listening to these words of Jesus, we would say the same thing. Can I hear a whoa? Let's try that again. Can I hear a whoa?
Whoa.
Yeah. I think that's how we would respond to Jesus with these reversed blessings. Now, what does it mean for us to be blessed? We talked about that a little bit this morning. One who is blessed is an object or a recipient of God's grace. And because of that blessing, there is joy about life. And that joy is not because life is easy in any sense of the word, but rather because God is faithful to care and provide for those whom he loves. These reversed blessings come with promises. The poor are those who know that they lack the resources they need to live life. In everything, they have to rely on the compassion of another, on the compassion of God. And they receive those who hunger are those who are not receiving what they need to sustain life, whether it be physical food or spiritual food. And the promise is that God will feed the hungry. They will be fed and they will be satisfied. And those who weep does not refer to those who have a personal concern or a personal struggle. It refers to those who weep because of the state of the world in which we live. We could do that now, couldn't we? Just weep about the state of the world in which we live. And then those that are hated, excluded, insulted, and rejected, they receive that treatment because of the name that they bear. They bear the name of the one they follow, Jesus, the Son of Man. Followers of Jesus should not be expect to be treated any differently in this world than Jesus was treated. But even being hated, rejected, excluded, and insulted is a cause for joy. Why? Because we belong to Jesus. That's why it's a cause of joy. And so this is the point. Jesus longs for these kind of people, the poor, the hungry, the weeping, the hated, rejected, excluded, and insulted. He longs for these kinds of people to follow him. Why? Because these are people who know their needs. They are people who are depending on Jesus to provide. They are people who are willing for Jesus to do his work in them and through them, to be molded and shaped by Jesus. I think that's one of the hardest prayers for us to pray. Lord, do your work in me and through me. Because we're relinquishing control. And who knows what Jesus wants to do in us and through us. And see, what's happening here is outward self-sufficiency betrays or reveals our inward need of dependency on God. That's what Jesus is getting at. Let's take a look at these reversed woes. And I say reversed just like as the blessings. These are not necessarily what anyone would expect. And we want to sit here and say, well, hey, what's wrong with being financially well off? What's wrong with being well fed? And what's wrong with making sure our families are fed? What's wrong with working hard? What's wrong with having people speak well of us? I mean, this is what we're taught at the beginning of life, right? We want people to speak well of us. We don't want them to embarrass our family or our family name. We want to make sure we have what we need to live life. Maybe we need to say woe. Can I hear a woe?
Woe.
The word translated woe can be put in two different ways. First, alas, which is an expression of regret and compassion. Regret and pity. Or it can be translated, how terrible. How terrible. What Jesus is speaking about is an expression of regret, an expression of compassion, as well as judgment, because he's concerned for these people. He's not concerned to judge them. He's concerned about their state of being. Just as the blessings come with promises, so do the woes. The ones who are rich are those who think they don't need anything. They rely upon and depend upon themselves, on what they have earned, of what they have. Even though they seem self-sufficient, Jesus is pointing out an inner sense of emptiness. The ones who are full are those who have all they want. They seemingly lack nothing. And they're satisfied with what they have. The ones who laugh now, they're the ones who look down upon and scoff at those who have less than they have. They look down upon and scoff at those who don't have much at all. And again, they take pride in their own self-sufficiency. They are indifferent to the needs of others. And the ones who everyone speaks well of, they seemingly have it made in life. They're at the top of the heap. What is Jesus getting at? He's saying that seeking to be self-sufficient can encourage an attitude of independence, a lack of dependency on God. I knew a young couple in a church that I served who had two beautiful twin daughters. They were about 7 years old. Mom and dad were both killing it in their careers. They were doing great. They had everything going for them. They were rising stars. And every day when their children would come home from school, the children would go to their aunt and uncle's home for childcare after school. Their aunt and uncle happened to bring these two girls with their other children to a Wednesday evening program where they learned about Jesus. And one night, when they came home, they were hearing their children talk about Jesus and talking about praying before sleep, and mom and dad had no idea what to do. No clue. And so when they went to bed that night, they looked at each other and said, are we missing something? Are we missing something? And they started coming to worship. And they started to learn about who Jesus was and is. And I had the privilege of baptizing their daughters, the daughter's father, and receiving them as members into the church, receiving the mother as a member in the church as well. She had been baptized as a child years ago, but somehow had missed her way, as she would say. That's what Jesus is talking about here. Somehow we get lost on the way, and somehow the world's values and the world's concerns become more important than following Jesus, than understanding who our Creator is and what our Creator desires. Leon Morris, in his commentary on Luke, says this: self-sufficiency can be fatal to spiritual growth. Self-sufficiency can be fatal, deadly, to spiritual growth. This is precisely why Jesus speaks these blessings and these woes. He is aware of people's hearts. Jesus' heart breaks when he sees people who are seeking to be self-sufficient. Jesus' heart breaks when he sees people who are depending only on themselves. Jesus' heart breaks when he sees people who are concerned only for themselves and not for the needs of others. And so we have to ask ourselves a question. Are we seeking to be self-sufficient? Are we seeking to depend only on ourselves? Are we seeking to only be concerned for ourselves? Outward self-sufficiency betrays and reveals our inward need of dependency on God. Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about the fact that Jesus speaks with authority in these blessings and woes. They are words of comfort and words of invitation. Words of comfort for those who are following him, and he's reassuring them that, yeah, you'll experience this stuff in life, but you can depend on God to provide for you everything that you need in this life and the next. They're words of comfort or invitation to those who are willing to forsake the world's values and consider what it means for them to allow Jesus to shape and form and mold them into the people they've been created to be. And yes, these are ultimately words of judgment from Jesus. Judgment on those who rely on themselves and their own resources. You know, this isn't an easy thing for me to preach on. We live in a world that's counter to Jesus' values. It's counter to Jesus' desires. And sometimes I think we need to take a step back and say, whoa, what have I gotten myself into? How have I believed a lie? Jesus' words are a reversal to the values of the world. Will we hear what Jesus has to say to us? Will we take the time to say, whoa, and realign our desires with Jesus' desires? Will we take the time to say, whoa, and realign our values with Jesus' values? You see, outward self-sufficiency betrays and reveals our inward dependency on God alone. May that be so for us. Let me pray. Lord, we thank you that your words are challenging. We thank you that your words come with authority. We thank you that your words cause us to take stock in our own lives. Thank you for that. Lord, may they be words of comfort and invitation for us. Words that cause us to want to be shaped and molded by you, because that means that we're being true to who you are and who we're created to be. Lord, we long for you to do your work in us and through us. For your sake, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.